Welcome back to our study of Deuteronomy. We are in chapter 1, and we just finished reading verses 16 through 18 in our last session, and we want to go back and revisit our discussion of these verses. And you'll remember at this time that leaders were appointed, and Moses commanded the judges to listen to these cases that were brought before them, and that they were instructed to judge righteously.
You know, we were talking before the break on how important it is to judge fairly.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds simple, but I think most people really have to work not to let influential people intimidate you.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you see someone that is really struggling and having a hard time, not let that cause you to make an unjust decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really have to stay out of the emotional arena and just look at facts. And if you know, the way they select juries is by seeing who they feel like the prosecutor, listen to the facts, or the defense wants you to get you in an emotional arena where you feel sorry or whatever. And when you go, if you're going to judge fairly, then you have to do it with no emotion. Well, you know, if I do this, they have a family and they have this and they... You can't think about those things. You understand? You've got to do what's right by God. And that's what, and this is a discipline. You understand? But this is what Moses is telling them to do. You've been taught what to do. You have the law. Now, enforce the law. Execute the law properly. Okay? That's fair enough, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God does. Mercy as far as you can give mercy. But don't let your mercy cause you to give an unfair judgment.
And even when you look at that 17th verse, you shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. You think about the times when you've had to deal with something, if you've ever been in that position, when you've been given a position of authority or responsibility, and you have to handle something, and it's been a judgment that has not been yours, you didn't decide it, but nevertheless, you had to deliver. You have to get to the point where you are not afraid of the face of man, because people can give you some faces. And those faces could be quite intimidating, or whatever the case may be, that would deter you from doing what you know you have been told to do. And so that's another thing I think that we have to consider when we're following the Lord and we've been given an assignment. I'm growing in this area myself, is we can't be concerned about the people, because the people will wear you out. And the people have you running in this direction, that direction, doing what they will, what they think is best. But, you know, with these judges here, these people that were put into responsibility, that 18th verse tells us Moses didn't just send these men out here. All right, you've been chosen as judges. I want you to make sure you do this righteously. Don't be afraid of the people. No, he commanded them. He taught them. He taught them about the commandments of God. He taught them about the judgments of God, the precepts of God. They were trained. And that's another thing we have to look at. There's a principle embedded in that. There is a time for training. People need a time for training, right?
You'd be surprised how much of this you see in church setting.
Yeah.
And how people will try to manipulate the oversight of a church from the point of withholding giving, threatening to leave the church if you don't do things, and you know, trying to start these little circles to undermine. And these things, you can't let these things move you. I've had people to come to me and tell me if I didn't do a certain thing, they were going to leave the church. Well, I was doing what God told me to do. So I'm not going to change that to keep you. I've had people to come to me and tell me what I should be preaching. No, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to present what the Lord gives me, not what the people gives me. And I do not fabricate a message or develop a message around a problem in a church. You just seek God and give the message. And just because it's Christmas does not mean you give a Christmas message. Or Easter, you give an Easter message. What does God want delivered at that particular time? Then you can't let the people influence you. You've got to give the judgment of God. This is what God is saying. This is the message that God is wanting you to hear. And then when you're dealing with people and you're doing in counseling, you can't take sides. You hear this one, you hear this one. His side, her side, and the truth. And so what you have to do is not take sides, but tell both sides what the Scripture says. And I'll just throw this out. Most of it's a pride issue anyway. You get rid of your pride, we can get the problem resolved. Get rid of your pride, we can communicate. You understand? But when you draw a battle line, then you just killed the thing you say you want. And so in a church, you have to seek your counsel from God. You have to give the judgment of God. And people don't understand that. I've had people say that, well, you preach that message to me. And I have said, don't flatter yourself. I hadn't even been thinking about you. You understand? We don't preach at people. We don't judge against people. We do our best to give you what God gives and let the chips fall where they may. The Word of God will judge you. So my position is give you the Word. And if truth slaps you, then you just got hit with truth and to awake you to reality. You need to make a change. Okay? So if you're in a position to make judgment calls, make sure it's without partiality, and you seek the wisdom of God so you know what to do. Don't just do it out of opinion, he said, she said, or whatever. And don't do it, definitely don't do it out of emotion. But let's go with what God wants. And so basically what Moses is telling these guys, lay out the facts. You've got the law. You know what to do. You put the law out. In this situation, this law applies. You violate it. This is the consequence. Doesn't matter who, if you're the wealthiest man in the nation, it still applies to you. You know, our Congress and all, they operate by different laws than we do. That should never be. One law for everybody. God abides by His own law, believe it or not. So we're not to be partial.
Very good. Verse 19. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all the great and terrible wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, you are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God does give unto us.
Now, I want you to look at this. Moses is doing the speaking, and he says this was a great and frightful wilderness that we've come to. Moses was going through the same hardships that everybody else was going through.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm sure that Moses had his days that he didn't know what to do. You understand? He drank water. He ate food. And so when they get in the place and there's no water and they're not having food that like they're accustomed to, it's affecting him too. So he says, yes, it was a frightful wilderness. You know, this was a tough place that we went through, but we went through it. And God has brought us to the place that He promised. You have to be willing to suck it up and get through some hard places in life to get to where God wants you. Too many people jump ship. They want to throw their hands up and quit when the going gets tough. My dad used to tell me, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. You bow your back into it and you press through it. You don't give up. And you don't murmur and complain. And that's what the Israelites did. They just murmured and complained, murmured and complained, murmured and complained. They kept Moses before the Lord a lot. That worked a positive way for him. But they got to the place where the Lord had promised to give to the descendants of Israel.
Yeah.
I'll not jump ahead of you.
Thank you. 21, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us. And they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come.
Now, I want you to look at that specifically.
Mm-hmm.
When they came to Moses, this is what they said. Note this. If you look at Numbers 13, it appears that God initiated the sending of the spies into the land. No, the people initiated. You see it right here. The people came to Moses. He said, all right, we're at the mount that God gave. Go in. They said, let's check it out first. And let's send spies in to find out the way we're to go. It has nothing to do with evaluating whether we should or should not go. It's the way we should go. And, you know, you're getting a battle strategy is what it's all about. You go in and you scout the land. You find out what you need to do. And you come back and give a report. And then you get a game plan. When you go in, it's not just shooting from the hip, so to speak. You have a plan. That was what they were supposed to do. But that's not what they did. They came back telling how bad it was. They didn't come back saying we should go up this way. They came back and said we should not go. So they're not even good for the word there. But although God didn't initiate it, He allowed them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You with me? So Moses said, all right, go ahead.
And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe.
Okay. The tribe of Levi was excluded.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? They didn't have a portion of land. They didn't have an allotment. And so the 12 that went in there had something to gain by getting territory. Okay. You guys go in and you check this out. Leaders, you understand.
And they turned and went up into the mountain and came unto the valley of Eshcol. and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, It is a good land which the Lord our God does give us. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents, and said, Because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us.
Now, that's a strong accusation against God, to say God hates you, and so he's brought you to this place. Now, the interesting thing about this is when they do return, they return with the fruit, like Moses told them to bring fruit from the land. And it's tremendous fruit, you understand. And they say, oh, the land's good. I mean, when you get a cluster of grapes that two men are bearing on their shoulder, I mean, we're talking about good production, you understand, and not to mention the other fruit as well. And so they come back, it's a good land, but I'm going to tell you, when they put the but in there, that's when you get in trouble. That's not what we should do.
Yeah.
And he says you rebelled against the commandment of God. God said, go in and possess the land. That's the commandment of God. You follow the command. I'm telling you, if you're ever in the military, when they give you a command, they don't mean if you want to. You understand? I know when I first went in at boot camp, you know, when they read you your rights and all this kind of stuff, it's not for you to question why, it's just for you to do or die. And you're not your own, you're now the property of the United States government, and you're your mama, he's your daddy, he's whatever. There's a right way, the wrong way, the military way, you do it their way. Well, you do it God's way because it is the right way. And you think about this, if you just follow the Spirit of God, you don't have to decide right and wrong. You just obey. And you'll always be right. If you obey God, you'll always be right. You can't go wrong doing right. And God's never wrong.
Good. Let me review two test questions for you, right in the same vein. According to Deuteronomy 1:25, 12 spies who were sent into the Promised Land came back and reported that the land was good. Good is your answer. Very good. And then the next test question. The reason the nation of Israel did not go into the Promised Land under Moses' leadership was because of its... We just read it, verse 26, because of its rebellion. Rebellion's the word we're looking for, or unbelief, rebellion. I read verse 27, but I read ahead. So I'm going to go back and pick that up again. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the land of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. I say unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goes before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes.
You know, there's a tremendous principle in this. What you put before your eyes is going to affect your decision making, okay? And so when they go up, we have 12 spies. They're saying basically the same thing. You understand? Joshua and Caleb saw giants. Joshua and Caleb saw walled, fortified cities. But Joshua and Caleb were fixed on the word of God. Go in and possess the land. So what they're seeing is what they're going to possess. not what's going to keep them out. You follow me? And it's how you look at it. You can look at what appears to be a difficult situation and say, I can't. Or you can look at that situation and say, God will give me the strength to take what He's promised to give me. He will not tell me to do something He will not empower me to do. But I have to believe. You understand? And if you're going to go in and take the land God gives you, it'll be by faith. It's not by your might. It's not by your strength. Believe it or not, it's not by how smart you are or how strong you are. It's how obedient you are. You do it God's way, and the weak can conquer the mighty. We just have to do things God's way. Joshua and Caleb had that insight. And so their mind is fixed on, this is our land. This is our land. The other ten, this is their land. This is their land. Joshua and Caleb got their share. The other ten never got the opportunity. You understand? They never crossed the Jordan. You better watch what comes out of your mouth. You better watch what you set before your eyes. You better control your thinking to where you're thinking like God, not thinking like the world, not looking at circumstances, but looking at possibilities. Amen.
Amen. I've got a little note written here, and it just jumps out at me. Don't let the obstacles keep you from what God has promised you.
You know, our being here, and I think any church that God has set, ordained, or any organization, college, whatever, anyone who has obeyed God, I'll promise you they'll tell you there were obstacles.
Yeah.
From the very beginning, you have to overcome this, you have to overcome that. I remember trying to get this building. I was almost to the point of tears. Because when I walked in the door to look at it, I knew it was right. I knew this was the place. But there was immediate opposition. But God gave me favor. And you keep looking at God. You keep looking at God. And you overcome the opposition. You know, the powers that be were saying why you can't. And the Lord just dropped in my spirit what to say to them that caused them to reconsider. And here we are. We understand. And there's been things to overcome along the way. You know, we go through things just like you do. People think, you know, preachers are immune, I guess. I don't know. We may go through more than you do. Sometimes it seems that way. But you have to stay focused. You have to keep your eyes on the Lord. You can't get discouraged with people, with circumstances, or whatever. If they don't like you, then they don't like you. I mean, it's just that way. If they reject you, they reject you. I've been rejected. You know, I've been in a place they didn't want me there anymore. And so what do? Do you get mad and talk about them? No, you just leave. God's got something better. Now, for a while, it didn't feel like it. But nevertheless, you keep your heart right. Stay focused on God. You possess the land. But you have to stay focused on God. And you can't let these other things discourage you and talk you out of your possession.
You know, I think it's interesting here that they were reminded that the Lord your God goes before you and He shall fight for you. And I was just thinking, as Pete was describing some of the obstacles he has overcome with the help of the Lord, some of my own obstacles, and how when I kept before me and kept just to the forefront of my remembrance that the Lord goes before me, He's beside me, He's behind me, He's in me, and just was so aware of the presence of the Lord surrounding me, things went better for me. And to me, that promises for me too. The Lord does go before me. He does fight for me. But I have to pay attention, and I have to be obedient to Him and sensitive to His Holy Spirit. That's where the Israelites missed it.
You can't look at the enemy. Moses, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of the inhabitants of this land.
Yeah.
Said, the Lord's going before you. The Lord gave it to you. The Lord's going before you, and the Lord will fight for you. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to have to engage in battle.
Right.
But you'll get supernatural wins. Mm-hmm. You understand? The Lord fighting for you. And you'll find that the Lord actually fought for them, just like He did in Egypt. You understand those plagues was God fighting to get their release. And you'll find after they get in with the promised land and things of this with the Israelites, you'll find that God threw hailstones down, killed more with the headstones than the soldiers did. But they didn't want to latch on to that. Now, you have to understand that we're talking about the military.
Mm-hmm.
The military is the one that did not want to go into the land. It was the military that died in the wilderness. The military. Cowards. Let me tell you this. You look at Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the armor of God. The only place not protected is your backside. You face the enemy. You don't run from the enemy. Surrender was never in my vocabulary. I mean, you go through all this training and all that, what they're supposed to do if you get captured and all this type thing. My thought is never give up. You never give up. You never give up. When you don't think you can do one more thing, you can't break me. You can't break me. Is that your best shot? And you keep going. And you keep going. And it is absolutely amazing what the Spirit in you can do to the flesh outside of you. It can cause that body to go when your body's screaming. I want to give up. No, you don't give up. You keep going. You keep going. I was in a situation with a friend of mine. He said, I can't go any further. I said, yes, you can. No, I can't. I said, you can and you will. Because we are going. You understand? And that's the attitude you have to have. If you're going to take what God's given you, you can't be thinking about, I can't. You suck it up. You do it.
Amen. I was just thinking.
Having flashbacks.
I was having a flashback because he was saying, "Do you give it your best shot?" And I had a flashback of Rob, my brother, holding me over the stairs by my ankles, and I was saying, "Uncle, Uncle, Uncle," and he'd be saying, "Is that all you got?"
No, you've got to have a. You have to reach down and get that grit on the inside of you to where, you know, I'm an overcomer. I'm not a succumber. My thought, even though I was one of the smallest guys and I was a peaceable guy, but my thought was, your size is not scaring me. It's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog, and this dog had a lot of fight in it. You understand? Anyway, you take that over into the spirit realm. Okay, it's actually a spiritual principle.
Yeah.
And so You know, I just figured if you was going to fight me and whip me, you better pack your lunch. You're going to have an all-day job, you know. And that's how you have to approach the devil. No, greater is he in me than he who's in the world. And so you don't succumb, you overcome. And that's what they failed to do. It kept them out of the land. I think the reason the United States has such a great military, or has had in the past anyway, and will be, and is going to be that way again, is because you're trained. You're highly trained. And you don't think about it. You're not looking for the enemy to kill you. You're looking to get the enemy. You understand? I didn't go to Vietnam to die for my country. You want another man to die for his. And so you have to keep that determination. You understand? And you can't be stupid. But you have to understand, you don't win with a defeatist attitude. You've got to think positive. You know, you go out on a patrol, you don't go out thinking, I'm going to get killed. Or you probably will. You do what you have to do. What is it that MacArthur said? I shall return. And so you have to keep that type of mentality. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, that's what, isn't that what Jesus said? I'll be back. And he's coming back. I believe that.
Verse 31.
I guess I'm letting some experiences filter through here, but I hope you're getting the principle, the spiritual principle, out of all this. Okay?
Verse 31. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that you went until you came into this place.
You think about that. God is saying to the nation of Israel, from the time you left Egypt, I carried you.
Yeah.
I mean, I led you every step of the way, just like a man would carry his son. I brought you from there to here. You can't take credit for it.
Yeah.
I brought you here. You understand? And so we can't take credit for where we are. It's the goodness of God. You know, I look back from my childhood and where God has brought me from. And I'm going to tell you, it still is somewhat overwhelming to me to come out of a place of poverty into where that I don't have to concern myself, am I going to have something to eat? You understand? And I'm not talking about, you know, millions in the bank. I'm just talking about God providing, God taking care. I've seen the faithfulness of God. And you look at a fellow that could have been considered the most unlikely to succeed, and yet, on the inside, God working with you and God bringing you from this place to this place to this place to this place. A work in progress. And it's still in progress. I guarantee you, he's still working on me, you understand? I mean, you're talking about an all-day job, though he had a job of a lifetime with me. But he's been faithful. You understand? He's carried me. And I don't ever want to fail to give him the glory for that and to recognize we are what we are by the grace of God. We're where we are by the grace of God. This college is not man's idea, it's God's idea. You understand? And so all we did was what he told us to do, because I wasn't smart enough to do it. But I didn't have to be. You don't have to be smart if you hang out with the wisest person in the world. Just follow his lead. Isn't that simple? So quit trying to figure everything out. He's already figured it out. Just move in step with God. Amen.
Amen. Verse 32. Yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day.
You didn't believe. And I'm going to tell you, that is an indictment, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When God is speaking through his representative, and he says, you know, I've led you, I took you from there, I carried you over here. You wouldn't believe me. You wouldn't believe me. I brought you right on the brink of the land for you to go into, and you wouldn't believe me. I was faithful to lead you. I'm going to tell you, God's faithful to lead us, but isn't it amazing how many people don't want to follow the lead of God? We, for some reason, somebody's lied to us to make us think that we have a better way than God. There is no better way than God. There's a way of temptation that will deceive you to get you in the flesh, and the flesh says this is better. But the flesh is going to die. And you lost it all. But if you keep your mind on the Spirit, you've gained it all. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Look what they exchanged. Let go of a promise of God and could have gone into a place, lived in houses they didn't build, eat from crops they never planted. Truly a land flowing with milk and honey, as it said. They didn't do it. And I can tell you that God hasn't changed. He still wants to take us to that place. But he doesn't want us to get a vain imagination of what that place is. He just wants us to follow his lead. And then we'll rejoice in the result of following his lead.
Amen. I think we're...
It's time?
It's time.
Okay. Cut it off. Okay. Father, indeed, enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered. Those who hate you, flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
I hope I didn't get too far off track with some personal